When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cheese and
pickle. Eba gum.
Eba gum, lad.
It's the northern one.
And thus heralds the beginning of Blackpool Week. It's the end of Blackpool Week, isn't it? Sorry.
Yes.
It's over now. It's already been in Gorn. Welcome to Come Strictly Dancing. Did I forget to say this last week? I'm Julia Rayside and you're Joel Morris.
I think people can work it out, can't they?
I mean, they're very clever, our listeners. It's been proven in tests. So, yes, we're in Blackpool. We're very excited. Every single Blackpool cliche was present in the VTs. A northern British person showing an exotic foreigner the mushy peas. People trying to enjoy the seaside in lashing rain.
Oh, I love that. That was my favourite thing. If we're going to say what was my favourite thing the whole of this week, it was that the VT section had been filmed in an absolute squall.
Just the worst weather possible.
It was the building up to a point of saying that somehow Blackpool was across from the Emerald City and Mega City One. Like, this is supposed to be
They talk about it like it's holy. It's absolutely,
and then getting up there and it was like watching trawlermen try and haul in nets full of herring, and they were dancing and spangly during it. And it was just, I suppose, in a sort of way, it symbolised what... I'm going to be pretentious about this. It's what
That's not like you.
But it's what the show is. The show is watching people do something effortless and spangly and showbiz and tits and teeth and big smiles while doing something really hard.
Yeah.
And weirdly, the fact that it looked like they were sort of manning a trawler while doing a dance and being showbiz, you realise, everyone's working really hard.
It's basically it's the equivalent of that Jubilee celebration with the barge and the rain, with the people singing while their hair was sticking to their face from rain. And
Intrinsically sort of British and sort of keep calm and carry on and
adversity.
Sort of
it's
blitz spirit thing.
Yeah,
but also just what showbiz is and what this was
again, trooping,
reminding you again what this was like during the pandemic and the fact that these people were troopers and watching them go round a chair-a-plane in a lashing storm is exactly what I want to see. If they turned up and it was like Vegas. It wouldn't work.
Yeah, or if they shot it like it was Vegas.
Yeah.
If they tried to make it too glam.
You see that everyone is wet.
All the time.
And I suppose all you're watching there is an equivalent of, obviously, great moments in British sort of indomitability, like the Blitz or the Cub Scouts and Roller Coaster and Jim Will Fix It. I want to see people having a good time against all the odds. That's what I want to see.
All the odds. They only go into the ballroom to get dry.
You won't believe what it's like at the ballroom. It's not raining. The only place in the north where it's not raining.
That's why they love it so much. It's fucking dry.
We marked it with a tower as a place to head towards to get dry.
Anyway, I absolutely love every Blackpool week. For me is like a really, I don't know, that there is something, maybe it's just because I'm suggestible and they're saying it is more special this week, so I feel it's more special. But I love the scale of it. I sometimes get annoyed by, but mostly like the extra dancers. I like the fact that everything's a big production number. And that you can tell even through the screen that there's quite an atmosphere in that building.
It does feel, I mean, what it is effectively is, and I don't think you know this as a viewer, because I think it's very interesting. As a kid, certainly, when you watch television, it was kind of coming from television land. And occasionally you got a sense of geographical specificity of TV centre or whatever. You went, it's from London. And increasingly people got more and more annoyed saying, BBC is very, very London-based.
Yeah.
That's where the factory is.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've really fought against that. And I remember the big deal when I've done sort of stints on BBC shows. I used to do Radio 5. We both used to do Radio 5 a bit. And if they did an outside broadcast or an away trip, it was a really big deal. And I used to laugh at it going, the expense the bind of moving the factory, all the production team, up to another place.
It's a hell of a thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is a thing you do in order that the BBC can say to its viewers, we
come to the regions occasionally.
Yeah, it used to be a bigger deal than it is now, but still, you get the feeling what you're seeing is what a pain it was for them to do, what a huge production number. And it's a school trip, and they're all overexcited. It's a geography field trip. They're getting to leave the classroom and do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that vibe, that sort of fizzy, oh, we're taking back lunches vibe, is really cool.
I want to think of them on a coach.
Yeah, I think they are. They must go up.
Like throwing sort of, you know, balls of screwed up paper at the back of Craig's head, that kind of deal.
That's what it felt like. I remember doing one for the Simon Mayo show.
Yeah.
We went up to Hull to record somewhere, and I remember listening to it. We did one in Hull and one in Ludlow. And we listened to it on the radio. It sounded the same as it did in London. What was the point? What the point was that before you went on air, you'd been on a train with John Prescott, and it was really funny.
It just puts a little spring in everyone's step. And also including that, obviously, Blackpool Ballroom, slightly different for the performers because there's a sprung dance floor.
Yes.
I always forget this. It's been 3 long years, as they kept saying.
Yeah.
It does produce a slightly different result because, obviously, under their feet, there's a totally different kind of structure and floor. So there's a lot more bounce.
You do expect, and you notice what's the first thing that happened. Anton Dubec goes in the sky, doesn't
he? Oh, my God.
Did you
notice that too? That was the coolest thing ever.
I think what it must do to dancers is make them feel that if they jump very high, they'll land very safely. And I was expecting them to be up in the air the whole time.
Sort of like they're on the moon.
Yes.
Don't worry, gravity doesn't work the same here. You can jump up and stay there for about 10 seconds.
That's what I was expecting it to look like.
But that's what Anton did.
He went to the sky.
So obviously it's Blackpool. They're going to open with something really bright and attention grabbing and kind of luxe, and it was. I just wrote huge neon opener, which sounds like something a doctor might use.
It's very dark up there. We'll have to nurse get the huge neon opener.
I've got the music in me. I'm guessing it probably turned into a medley. I stopped writing after the first one. Anton did this, like, obviously the judges dance as well because that's, you know, that's the Blackpool spirit.
Yeah.
Everyone gets on that floor because everyone wants to be on that floor. One of the contestants was saying, it's like it's calling to you saying, you must dance here. Like, you can't just be in this room and not dance. He did this really, I just put cool as fuck mid-air pirouette.
Yeah.
Like, he seemed to stay up there for a bit too long. I thought it was great.
It's a really nice one. I did wonder about it because they break all the rules. They don't go, and welcome the judges. The judges are just on the dance floor straight away. You can't keep them away.
Absolutely brilliant. Anyway, so before we go into the dances, just important to note, we're going into this competition this weekend with no perfect score yet. Not that they're building up to it or anything. They've just let us know before the dancing starts. No one has scored perfectly 40 out of 40 yet.
Oh, what could happen?
Just in case we needed to know what the stakes were this week. So opening the show were Hamza and Yavita, who did their American Smooth to New York, New York. So that's like so far, so Blackpool. Like classic tune, classic routine.
Can I just make a point here? Because I want to make this point here because I had to look this up because I double-checked this. New York, New York, about as classic ballroom as it can be.
Yeah.
Here's your pub quiz question. When did Sinatra release New York, New York?
Oh, 1961.
1980.
Shut up.
It's a really modern classic.
What?
It's like My Way. My Way is a 70s Sinatra. This is 1980. It is Kander and Ebb from the Scorsese's New York, New York musical, sung by Liza Minnelli, 1977.
What?
It is one of those songs you think's always been there, and it's really modern.
Oh, my God, but that's amazing.
But the first thing I thought was, I've forgotten how much I like New York, New York. And I'd forgotten it was Kander and Ebb. It's so cabaret. But what a great tune to choose. Because it feels like it's like a traditional, this is going way back. And you go, actually, no, modern song.
That's incredible.
It's about as old as Heart of Glass. It's fine. It's cool.
Oh, my God. It's you and your rule of Tower Bridge, where you look at Tower Bridge and go, it must be at least 500 years old. It's like, no, it's just over 100 years old.
Yeah, Dracula was invented about 4 minutes before Batman.
God.
It's one of those cultural monoliths that is incredibly modern. But yes, New York, New York. What a great choice. The perfect thing to do, smooth to, in a tailcoat.
I know, exactly. I think being given this says, safe pair of hands, we trust you to launch the show in a kind of classic, old-fashioned ballroom style. Even my mum would like this.
Yeah, it was really trendy.
It was
movie glamour. It was all the things that you sign up for. Why ballroom dancing, when they used to do Strictly Come Dancing, why you watched it. You wanted a bit of Hollywood, didn't you?
You go back to sort of the origins. And I thought that, I mean, obviously, it almost goes without saying, but we can't not say it. It's a podcast. It was probably one of my favourites of the night. I think he made it look so so smooth, so easy. It must actually be quite difficult on a sprung dance floor. In the training video, Jovita was saying, imagine you have a ceiling just that stops right above your head. You can't rise and fall with this one. You need to kind of stay on a level. And with a sprung dance floor under your feet, that must be even harder.
It's all the discipline. It's all being taken, obviously, in the knees and the shoulders and things. Yeah. There's something going on there. And another one is, please, I love these. Do show, if anyone's listening for the rest, I love it when they show the training montages where it's not just all about, oh, my grandfather died in the First World War.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like to know what they're doing.
Totally.
I like to know how... give me the tools to be a judge.
They have been good this year with that. They've put
loads
enough of
it.
That, a little sprinkling of that into every episode, so you're getting some knowledge as you're watching.
And important for someone like Hamza, who the word we keep using is effortless, show that it's not effortless.
Yeah,
show that his,
exactly.
I mean, his natural ebullience would be up and down all the time, you'd think. That would
I
be his
know.
Natural dance. Him giving him having sort of stately as a galleon, as a note from Jovita.
It's
means,
no easy thing.
Can he pull it off? It's great.
Oh, God, it was beautiful. And the lift, and the lift they did at the end, which is kind of quite a prolonged... you know, had several parts to it. Again, he looks like he's lifting some origami or something. It's
or a
so...
polar bear.
Well, no, because that
not
would look effortful.
Or a puffin.
An
a
origami
puffin.
Polar bear.
A small puffin.
Why have we ended up down this? Anyway,
I don't know.
But it looks like he's lifting something that doesn't weigh anything is what
oh,
I'm trying
right,
to convey.
Oh, right, sorry, that it was effortless. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think there is zero gravity in that ballroom. I think generally there's just normal gravity. So that was really impressive.
Is the Blackpool Tower ballroom spinning at a certain speed? Like
the
centrifuge. Wall of death. Like
yes,
the wall of death.
Yeah.
Who knows? All rules of fair ground apply.
Anyway, the judges loved it. Shirley was on her feet. She said, you give Blackpool much respect. She didn't say it like that, but, you know, she said much respect. Anton said, beautiful welcome to Blackpool. Craig said, I wasn't fond of your solo jazz section. I was very fond of the solo jazz section. I thought he performed it beautifully.
Yeah.
But he said everything else was great. And the word ease always comes up with Hamza because it just permanently looks like nothing is much effort for him. Motsy said he performed it with excellence. And you're in control of this ballroom. Craig and Motsy, nines. And then Shirley and Anton, tens. So not a perfect score. He did deserve a perfect score. But I guess they didn't want to start on a 10. They had nowhere to go.
Yeah, you want to keep the story going. And also really important to remember what he was doing last week.
Yeah.
That the biggest contrast between those two routines.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, in terms of breadth of ability to make things look effortless.
Yeah.
I think, again, I always say this, we are in danger of taking Hamza for granted. If he can do an American smooth where he doesn't move his head up and down.
Yeah.
And Afrobeat the week before.
I
and
know.
Knock them both out of the park. You go, oh, that's range.
He's just a...
Darling, he's got range.
Oh, he's just a dancer, love. A dancer. So we then obviously got the T&Cs. Lovely Sam Ryder, who I'm really just warming to now. He's either a kindly lion or if all of ABBA had one child together.
Yes, he's the child of Eurovision.
He is.
He's what happened backstage at that 1974 Eurovision in Brighton, where I imagine they all got off with a womble and a womble can bear.
He got off with
bear
a womble.
Many, many children. And that child is Sam Ryder because he's a bit wombly as well.
Oh, he's so lovely.
He's good. He's accelerated to national treasure status really
fast.
Yes,
I'm not quite sure how he's done it. It's almost like when you're sort of beatified by Radio 2 or something, and then that's it. You just get on and do the job.
Did you notice what
he's lovely.
He came
lovely
on,
hair.
Did you hear what they were playing behind him? Which was such a... They played Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, yes.
Not Walking on Sunshine. Yeah, no,
no
Walking
bit
on
of a diss. It's like, this is the one that did win.
Exactly. You came second. Yeah, we wouldn't play a number two song. But you thought they might... Because I thought that was because they were going to do Spaceman later. They
I
didn't.
Know.
Okay, fine. Don't
weren't
play a
even
song.
Saving it up.
Don't play a song. Put didn't Johnny play. Logan on. Who
and he,
cares?
And you know what? He didn't mind because he's delightful.
He seems to be a very good egg. If I found out he was a beast behind the scenes, I wouldn't believe it.
It would break your little heart.
It would. I like Sam Ryder.
So next we have Molly and Carlos, who jived to something to do with the Bandstand by Barry Manilow.
And obviously the brilliant thing, classic British thing, if you're an American, you go, yeah, I know what Bandstand means.
Mm.
Bandstand means American Bandstand, the American TV show.
It's a show, right? It's a teenager's TV show.
Production team have gone, right, Sergeant Pepper, a Bandstand. Probably Pete Postlethwaite and a brass band. Which is a lovely Blackpool take on it. They'd completely anglicised a very American song.
Yeah.
I thought it was sweet.
But it was cute. This is ungrateful me. I was, when Craig said after they danced, and it was obviously a very pink, very... bright and bubbly and
very,
kind of showbiz routine. But when the dance had finished, he said, oh, there wasn't really much retraction, which I think he said for every single jive since the beginning of this series. But genuinely, with the combination of the springy dance floor and Molly being the youngest, you know, most energetic competitor, I did kind of feel maybe it was the routine, but it was kind of going into the floor a bit and it wasn't levitating up above it like you sort of expect a jive to do.
Yeah.
I think it was the routine, but it wasn't kind of the sort of bouncy kind of sprung thing I was expecting.
The last 2 weeks of Molly, and Molly is sensational. I really, really like Molly. I would feel very, very disappointed if she goes home to her.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she's brilliant and is, again, someone who's taken for granted. She appears to have a lot of natural talent.
I know, she does.
I think the last couple of weeks where she's done well, I've gone, oh, I'm not quite fizzing
not
from your routine.
Right,
and
yeah.
I think last week was a slow rumba, wasn't it? But she was being very...
Yeah, I think when she does the grown-up stuff, I connect with it and I love it. And I'm genuinely, suddenly it's like, who is this? Sorry, has she been in all along? When she goes back to the kind of the smiley, happy...
Jumping around a bit.
Yeah, I just sort of go to sleep a bit. And that's absolutely unreasonable as a response, but I just seem to naturally warm to her when she's being a bit more, I don't know... Maybe, more of an actress, less herself. I don't know.
This is something that happens at this stage in the competition where the whole point of, we say this again, the whole point of Strictly Come Dancing, why it works, why it's not just the professionals in, is we're plumbing the mine that Morecambe and Wise dug, that it's a nice surprise when someone does something you don't expect.
The newsreader. It's got to be the newsreader.
The newsreader needs to do a cartwheel. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Needs to high kick, needs to kick the desk away and have amazing legs and be a showgirl.
Yeah, yeah,
that is what you're watching. And so after a while, when you've seen the first surprising thing they do, go, God, they can dance.
Yeah.
You're looking for more surprises. So when someone who's like a CBBC sort of like little sort of a firework goes off, suddenly gets all elegant, you go, ooh.
That's when you notice her, yeah.
When Gangly exactly. Ellie suddenly gets very, very graceful, Hamza suddenly has got this effortless control of his limbs. You're after surprise. And I think the funny thing is that with Molly is that her fast dances are sensational.
Yeah.
But you kind of expect them now.
And I suppose so.
You want to see her do a Viennese waltz or be a sort of grown-up, sassy, sexy sort of Bond girl or something. You want to see her do something out of character because you've seen Will Mellor's hips now.
Yeah.
We've done that.
You're right. You're right. I think those are the weeks where she ends up in dance-offs is when she just sort of is true to form, a bit predictable.
Is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. We're lazily picking through the selection box going, not this one,
We are listless, syphilitic monarchs demanding the jesters dance for us. We're awful.
Rub my gouty legs. sorry, I just suddenly thought I was channeling Olivia Colman in The Favourite there. Love that film. That's who I feel like I'm being. I apologise for being so inured to this unbelievable, dazzling buffet in front of us. The judges were really impressed. They said, clean, great timing, really great dance. Craig did say she lacked retraction. But again, I think, I don't know. Carlos is the jive king.
Yeah.
But I felt like this choreography wasn't like showcasing someone's jive ability that brilliantly.
There was
a lot that wasn't sort of like the kicks and flicks. And she could really do those, I think.
Yes, maybe she was just... whatever Craig's saying. I think what Craig wants is that when the leg flicks out, it should then fold entirely back into the body.
Itself,
and then just disappear. So you
retract,
like,
as in all the way into the hip.
Yeah, so like when you see a cat lying down, it looks like a slug. They were
or a loaf of bread. Okay.
Just a loaf of bread.
Fair enough.
Look more like a loaf of bread, darling. That's what he's expecting.
Between every kick. Motsi said she was really impressed. The choreography was really difficult. It was clean and tidy. That's it. When people keep saying it's clean, it's tidy, it means I can't fault that technically, but I'm not feeling something.
Yeah, I didn't. No one stands up when something's tidy.
No, exactly. And Shirley said, Carlos is the king of jive. She disagreed with Craig. She saw plenty of attraction and she hopes the viewers appreciate the difficulty in the routine. So Craig gave an 8, which I thought was low, but then also, I'm doing that again.
It's Blackpool. You end up with a binary judging system where they can only give 9s and 10s.
I know.
I like the fact that Craig insists that it has to be a wider range than
I suppose
people boo when he gives an 8 and you go, come on, you've got to have more
quite
than,
good,
you've more than three, you've got to have more than two paddles in.
Yeah, but you know when you're giving someone an 8, you're basically putting them mid-table and leaving them in danger of the drop, which indeed she was. She was in the dance-off. And then 3 9s from the other judges. Okay, then we move on to Kim and Graziano. I loved this routine. So it was a paso doble to, well, it was The Only Girl in the World, and then it segued into Found Love in a Hopeless Place. So I guess it's just like a little Rihanna medley. They are both Rihanna, aren't they?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, you must do.
Is it Dusty Springfield or more modern
than
that?
Yes, it's Dusty. Right, Dusty Springfield medley.
I don't know.
They did a paso doble, and basically she started solo, you know, kind of in front of this sort of big sort of flat, a circular flat, so it's kind of framing her.
Yeah, yeah.
Spanish Arms, incredible sort of solo stuff, bit of Skirt Swishing, and then down into it. I loved this. With her, I would always say I wanted 5% more sharp, angry, kind of bah. When in the little interview afterwards, Claudia said, you know, order fish and chips in your with your paso doble face. Yeah. And it was just like she was mildly disgruntled. She needed to be fucking furious.
Yeah.
And those dances work best when you just, like, someone's literally just broken your favourite mug. Like, you have to be like, no! No!
That's a level of rage.
Yeah, and all of those men broke your favourite mugs. You just, like, treat them all with absolute meanness. But she, I was so impressed with her. She was the first one to dance with the other dancers, so she was partnering with dancers she doesn't dance with.
Yeah, I thought
the moves and stuff, and I made almost beautiful shapes.
I made almost no notes. I wrote, "She's very good, isn't she?" And then I just
thank you, Craig Revel.
And then I just I said the use of the other dancers was great because sometimes the additional of the other dancers in
they
these
can
routines,
get in the way, can't they?
Yeah, you keep sort of I keep craning my neck to see past them on the TV.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Yeah,
hoping that the camera catches them, and you could sense as well that they were in an unfamiliar space this week. The camera kept missing things.
Oh, the camera! People were going on and on about the cameras.
Yeah,
but again, let's just see how difficult their job is.
Yeah.
Like when they're covering the small studio, it's one thing.
Yeah,
but when they're covering a vast dance floor, and there's probably more cameras because there's more space.
And
to
they
cover.
Probably had less time to practice.
Oh my god! One day of rehearsal.
You've got a feeling how hard their job is, but I think sometimes the cameras at Blackpool are doing a double challenge. They're trying to find the dancers amongst a sea of other dancers.
Exactly.
And it's nice to see what the couples look like as part of an ensemble. It's really good. I think it shows off a different set of skills, sort of. But I was trying to catch up with her within that group. But I thought I did write for her that the use of the other dancers was great on her routine.
It was terrific. obviously, before they started dancing, they did that. They had fish and chips, and she gave Graziano mashy peas. He wasn't sure. And also, they found her waxwork in the Madame Tussauds on Blackpool.
Now, this is the thing that blew my mind. I thought, oh, that'll be her pretending to be set.
There's a Kim waxwork. It was bloody good.
But I was looking, going, oh, they'll do the thing where suddenly the waxwork.
I know, she'll come to life.
Because she hasn't got one. And she has got a waxwork because, obviously, up north, she's the most famous person in the world.
I think once you're in Corrie, that's
no
it.
I had no idea.
I know. To me, she's still just left hearsay.
Yeah.
And actually, she's had a whole career. And now she's gone from, like, acting to presenting.
She's a waxwork. I thought it was really good. To be honest, I blow hot and cold about the idea of waxworks, but that little Strictly display looked excellent.
I quite want to go to Blackpool now, do you?
It looked like it was a really good waxwork
museum.
I like the fact that it's Strictly display. That was a lovely thing to use. And the fact that she is... You need to be reminded sometimes when people, especially mums, go, oh, I don't know who anyone is on Strictly. You go,
yes.
Do you know these people are famous to the people who watch those programmes?
Exactly.
That when someone's off CBBC or YouTube... That's famous.
Yeah. I read my only other note at the end of her dance, when she's posing back up, you know, with her arms above her head, the Spanish thing, beautiful freeze frame. And she stayed there for a long time, just looking, just quietly dignified and furious. And I just wrote, Bayek, you look gorgeous.
It's I think
in keeping with the, you know.
That was good. They were in character. But I think that she's, again, it's another one where we've had a bunch of dances. These people are all really good. And
very,
I made a
good
note at this point. I thought, oh, hang on. We've said this before. We were sort of saying, when's Tony going home?
Uh-huh.
Or, oh my God, who's going to last to Blackpool? They don't deserve to be there. Weirdly, when Blackpool only has good dancers, I went, oh no, are we losing a narrative here?
Yeah.
Whereas what Blackpool often is, if someone has stayed in beyond the limit where they should have done, you get a sense of them being outclassed.
Yeah.
And the other guys look even more amazing. And I realised halfway through this, I thought, I'm taking all these guys for granted.
Yeah.
And I could really do with someone who's clomping about a bit.
Yeah.
A Jimmy Biscuits or a Tony Adams. I kind of weirdly...
You a scapegoat.
Yeah, you kind of missed the person who was showing you how hard it was.
Or a scape donkey, because we're in Blackpool. We needed Tony the scape donkey. I know that's right. The judges liked but didn't absolutely love it. So... Craig started off immediately by saying in solo, you could step it out more. The reaction from the crowd in the room was just like, she's amazing.
Yeah,
10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And then immediately he sort of brought everyone down to a slightly more calm level. He said the storytelling was brilliant. And it sounded slightly barbed. The way you moved from man to man to man was wonderful, darling. It's like, it's almost like you've done it before. It's like, all right, Craig.
Are you slut shaming her Strictly Come Dancing? This is a family show.
I mean, exactly. Then Motsi said, you looked amazing. You were powerful in the solo moments. Shirley said she was in warrior mode. She was powerful yet feminine. Just work on your posture and hold. And Anton says it was dynamic and brilliant. And just work on that tension when you're partnering your partner. She got Craig, Motsi, Shirley 8s and Anton a 9. So that actually obviously was, you know, fairly low for Blackpool to have more eights than nines. So immediately I thought, that's it. She's probably in the dance-off then, even with that performance.
She went off, packed a bag, got a willy suitcase ready.
I know. But I did love it. I mean, I always love a passo when it's done even half well. I thought that was a terrific routine. And I think, you know, she can be proud of that one. It was gorgeous to watch. So then we move on to Tyler and Diane, who are salsaing to That's the Way, Aha, Aha, Aha. I like it. Joe Lycett. Oh, we have to talk about him. We can't talk about him. This is a Strictly podcast. Yeah. But well done, Joe Lycett. So now this was interesting, and it brings up a wider point, which someone who reviewed the podcast on iTunes, I think, said, I'm getting really bored of Julia talking about racism. But maybe we should clarify rather than me wanging on about it without... Maybe it needs some explanation. Yes. But anyway, so Tyler was in an Afro wig this week, and he was doing, you know, sort of a disco salsa kind of
really
crossover.
Really suits him.
Really, really suited him. I must also say that he was screaming on a roller coaster in a way that made me quite enchanted and sort of fall in love with him a bit.
Charming little package there. I assume really scared, or if not really scared, really good at playing.
Oh, no, I think
beta.
He was really scared. No, he was scared.
Someone like that, happy to play sort of beta male for laughs and charm.
I
made me like him even more.
I know. This routine I thought was brilliantly done. Diane looked astonishing. I remember seeing in the costume design spot on It Takes Two. The week preceding, the designer kind of unveiling Diane's sort of tassely gold bodysuit. Absolutely incredible. and Jeanette just saying, I want to steal it afterwards. Obviously, all the dancers know they can wear something like that and look amazing. They looked terrific together. Really beautiful.
I like the staging. Jumping off the train was really
sweet.
I
liked all of it.
His
the group
first
dance.
Strut across the floor. Yeah. And you went, oh, you've got this.
Completely.
It suited him really well. It was back to where... There are a couple of dancers, I think him and Will this week, were doing the thing that you'd seen them do in the
thing you went, oh, hello.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Which
they were
largely,
unleashing it.
Yeah, largely involves hips. And actually, interesting, obviously, Tyler and Diane end up in the dance-off. When they danced this again, suddenly he remembered his hips woke up, and then he was much more... he was gyrating much more rather than just sort of walking it through.
Actually, that was interesting, I think, because this was quite an unleashed dance, quite a free dance. A disco one always feels quite free and liberating.
It does.
And I think that in the dance-off, and actually weirdly in the final dance of the night, they were showing off a couple of things they were doing, and you were going, oh, actually, I don't think I've noticed before... When the judges often go in a dance-off, they go, oh, you did that much better tonight.
Yeah.
Normally I can't see the difference.
No, I could see it this time.
And this one went, oh, wow, I think I underrate how much and how often it must be that they've got this absolutely nailed and their nerves hit them. Or
completely. You've got one chance.
This felt like I went, oh, that was great. And then watched it again later. That was even greater. And that first lift, which Craig said, I didn't really like. And he went, no, you didn't really like it because it was the best thing that's ever happened on Earth.
Yeah.
The lift and how brave Diane was to let an untrained dancer do that with her. That was trust between her. It was good partnering and everything. That first lift, I just went, wow, breathtaking. Yeah. And they loved it so much. They did it again and then did it again.
Oh, God.
Because that shows how well you've trained.
Completely, utterly, absolutely, absolutely amazing. I'm not sure where to talk about this, but I'll just quickly mention it now. So as we're recording, we're in a week where obviously... you know, Tyler's in the dance-off. That doesn't necessarily suggest anything. Other non-white contestants have ended up in the dance-off. On I'm a Celebrity this week, the first contestant to go, despite being up against the worst man in the world, Matt Hancock.
A man who murdered your nan.
Literally, like, she didn't even do that. So Charlene White, non-white woman, leaves first. The vote-off last night was between Babatunde and... I've forgotten her name. Lovely sunny girl, Scarlett, who presents A Place in the Sun. So, two non-white contestants, and obviously another woman of colour goes home. I don't think we're just to explain to that woman who said, "You stop telling us we're racist." Racist by omission. So, if you're a largely and statistically, we'd be a mostly white audience watching these shows, you kind of unconsciously are voting for people who vaguely look like you. You relate to them more. Perhaps.
There's identification going on, I think.
Completely. And I'm not saying it because I'm looking for some woke agenda or some... It's literally... I've watched lots of reality TV and it happens every series of every show. Big Brother, there's always usually a woman who's not white, who is the first to leave.
There's a skewed thing going on. Someone this morning, I think it was Jamie Smart, actually said, oh my God, after the I'm a Celebrity thing was just this sort of absolute, we're just going to get rid of the black people first. It was like a slasher movie or an alien invasion film where the black soldiers get killed first.
Genuinely.
There's that
Star
feeling,
Trek.
There's that feeling, yeah, that the black guys are the red shirts.
Yeah.
And go, but weirdly, someone came up with the statistics for Big Brother and things, and it's very nuanced how this goes. There's often a feeling, you know, it doesn't feel quite nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Statistically, it makes a difference, apparently, if you look at it, whether it's a vote to leave or a vote to remain.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Which obviously,
If you're voting to save,
very often it does... very often what happens with the vote to save things is that it's biased against contestants of colour.
Right.
Because people go, oh, that's my person.
Yeah.
With the vote to leave thing, there isn't very often as much sort of active racism. People don't feel comfortable in voting someone off.
No.
But they will, in mass, there will be an accidental bias towards people voting for someone who goes, oh, I like them. They're a bit like me, without even thinking it.
That's kind of all we're talking about here. And I think we're a podcast that talks about, you know, sort of like a contest, a reality contest or whatever. This is definitely a thing. It's a pattern. It's not something we're going, oh, well, let's try and find something to talk about. But so obviously Tyler did end up going home this week. And my friend actually texted me and said, is it the curse of the afro? If they put you in an afro, that tends to be the week you go home. I need to look into this statistically to see who else has gone out on an afro.
But significantly this week, and I wonder whether this is another thing because of the curse of the afro.
Yeah.
Flo was allowed her own hair this week.
She was allowed her own hair with extensions, so it was long and not like a bubble. But still
was allowed.
She was allowed to have
proper
big hair.
Beyonce hair.
Because she was being Beyonce.
But then obviously was voted up to the top of 40. Who knows what the voting patterns were?
I know.
Let's be paranoid about this. But as in, she was completely safe anyway. But it was notable this week that there was a little bit of disco afro going on.
Totally.
And I wonder what the consequences were. But yeah, I think it's a very, very subconscious thing of people. If you ask people who they want to keep, there's a completely natural thing, like there is in everything, going, oh, they're from my town.
Yeah.
I like him. Me instantly going, I like him, he's scared of roller coasters. I immediately like Tyler.
Exactly.
Because he's scared of roller coasters, like me.
Very much like one of your tribe there. no offence, I'm scared of roller coasters too. I also belong in the same one. I think this is a charming... And, you know, a very accomplished routine, the lifts especially. I mean, he's a big lad, but he's able to really chuck Diane around. That one lift that was kind of quite complicated where he ended up having to pull her through his legs by the back of her neck just looked like, oh, God, you're going to snap her. but really, really well done.
It was the kind of lifts and throws that you expect in the goodies with a stuffed dummy.
Yes.
It was that kind of thing where you want...
It turns out she's not a person. She's just stuffed full of old tights.
What happens when Diane lands is the camera cuts and then she gets up. Those kind of throws. It was the kind of thing that Mrs. Trunchbull does in Matilda.
Very, very much with the children. Just grabs children by the hair.
Round and round they go. And in the 70s would be done with a stuffed dummy and a sharp cut on the camera.
So I apologise for the short TED talk about racism. I just didn't want you to think that I think secretly everyone in the country is a mean, nasty racist. I just mean there's an unconscious bias that we kind of seem to play into a lot with this kind of show. So the judges said Shirley especially, the difficulty of those lifts was incredible. Don't try those at home. You are Mr. Rhythm. Work on your transitions, but you're a star. Motsy said, I want to go on that ride, which is like, yes, okay, Motsy, we get it. Yeah, we'd all like to. He's very handsome. She said it was an excellent sort of fusion of disco and salsa. And she said, your body has so much to say. It's like, yeah, well, again, we're all thinking it. He's very adjudicator friendly. Anton was saying that the lifts were ridiculous in a good way. And that his free work's really good, really immense. But in hold, he gets a little bit ploddy. So again, there's still that, you know, that height difference and the frame. It's a difficult thing, definitely a difficult thing. And Craig said needed more rotation, and then made some jibe about later on about asking Will to give him a lesson on hips or something.
Oh, shade.
Which just seemed to be a little bit overly nasty. It's not like Craig. Craig gave them an 8, and then the others 9s. And it just sort of seemed that, you know, obviously the 10 paddle, we know it's coming, but it was obviously not coming yet. They've saved whichever those dances were till later in the show. I am sad he went out this week. I will say it now controversially, and we'll get to this. I think Ellie should have gone this week.
Don't, because that's really...
I'm awful. Sorry, I know she's lovely, but in terms of dancing...
I don't want anyone to go home. It's Blackpool.
Okay, well, no one's going home then, and they're all staying in Blackpool forever.
Send the donkeys home.
They did say, Motsy and Claudia were saying, like, let's just stay here. Well, fine, they can stay there, and people can send supplies in, and they can all grow long beards.
It's going to be like... like that Japanese soldier fighting the first, yeah. the Second World War for too long.
Eventually,
they just go crazy. A bit like Lord of the Flies, there'll be a pig's head, and they'll be worshipping it. It's just, it's going to be nice. The police will have to surround it, and eventually they'll all drink the Kool-Aid, and it'll be amazing. And basically, it'll burn down, and it'll all have been Craig's idea. That's what's happening.
I think so. It's a cult, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So now we move on to Ellie and Johannes, who did an American Smooth, second one of the night, to You're My World, You're My... That was me doing Cilla Black.
That's nice.
Thank you. and it was really sweet because it was obviously in the training footage, it was mates again trying to work out how to be romantic when they're sort of pals. So it was very, very cute.
I like the fact that JoJo was saying, I'm not going out in that rain.
Oh.
Bless JoJo for having standards. I'm doing it, but I'll do it inside something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not doing that. So I'll explain my comment of earlier, which is probably most people have switched off now. I don't think Ellie deserved to go like, boo, I hate her. Yeah. Like, burn the witch. I just think I really saw the judge's point about how she is a really good student. She studies hard. Yeah. She gets the moves right. And has really surprised herself throughout this competition with her ability to kind of make the right shapes and actually to be quite elegant. But there's a 50% animation thing missing.
Yeah.
She's not flowing. She's not really dancing in the way that many of her co-competitors are now. She's working from shape to shape.
Her progress is slow, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, exactly. I think it doesn't feel fluid. It's and ideally in this, I guess you're confident. You start off not being able to dance. Your confidence gradually builds. Helen, for example, until you can turn out something really quite special. I think Ellie's sort of gone up and down in terms of the results that she's produced. But there's something in her when they say to Hamza, you are a dancer, you're a star. Mm. She's an entertainer who can dance. like that thing they used to say about what's his face, the really famous dancer can dance a little.
Oh yeah,
like she can definitely dance a bit, but she's not turning into a dancer for me.
Yeah, actually, she is maybe in a funny way. She's the last. Well, I said it, where's our Blackpool person who proves this is hard? Ellie, it's really interesting watching Ellie and Helen in parallel because I think they've got a very similar journey.
Very much,
it's a confidence thing, and find your dance. We've definitely had a moment where I think the Charleston, Ellie had her dance.
Yes.
And you went, oh, that's the dance I was waiting for you to do. I'm really glad you waited to get the
ability
to do
it. Oh, no, it was the couple's choice as well, the musical number, which she did brilliantly.
Oh, yes, exactly. She's had a couple
but
where
that
you
was
went,
clever choreography.
And I do wonder whether that's her ceiling.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think she's a superb Strictly contestant. I think
she's wonderful. She's the essence of it. Again.
And look on her face. You could tell this week that she was expecting to go home.
Yeah.
From all her reactions. Her reactions are lovely and big anyway. They're really, really I love her generosity of
Disney
letting you,
eyes.
Letting you read how she's feeling. Yeah. She can't hide anything. The routine was really sweet, and I felt it was pushing at the edge of what she could do.
I agree.
And the shift into the flying rig broke the spell completely. It was really clumsy.
Oh my God, and putting like a little black belt on her beautiful, elegant, pale dress.
Everything
like,
that's
on.
Wrong. And what it meant was, as far as the story went, it meant that eventually what JoJo did is put her, said, go away.
Yeah.
So you could dance with the boys. And I went, that's the story we've been trying to avoid.
I know.
having in subtext. I go, but off you go into the sky.
And actually, John Waite was in the audience. It's like, I want to dance with him.
Yeah, it had that. So it was really unfortunate. It felt like she'd been sent away. Aww. Obviously, going up with this guy on the rig, they used to get rid of the Nancys in the Nancy choosing program.
Exactly.
So Janice ends up with the wrong person. And then when she grabbed him at the end, did you hear her mic?
She was saying, wasn't she saying, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. And she was basically saying, we're going home. And then when eventually she didn't go home, her reaction was completely genuine. I think she thought she knew, because she's not stupid,
that
she was being outclassed by the other dancers this week, and she not quite delivered. Saving her, I think, is a really good testament to how lovable and lovely she's been. And I think the public like her more than the judges do.
But not just her, because if you looked at Twitter, which I'm still doing, even though now it feels like it's covered in slime, toxic slime. Mm. If you looked at it just after that episode on Saturday night, Johannes was trending, just the name Johannes, not Ellie, not anything else, just his name. And people saying, he is so pure, he must be saved, rally, get on the phones.
I'd like to see what
I think she's
week.
Popular, I think he's so popular.
Yeah, I'd like to see what those two, because he's not stupid, he'll know what that was.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think next week, well, let's see what they can pull out. I'm glad they're back, because I love watching
them.
Oh
no, I don't want them to go, but I think in terms of someone having to go.
Yeah, if you were honest about this week and say, who made any mistakes at all, I'd say it was them.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. So, you know, Craig was, he said the cruelest thing of all, but I think it kind of drilled down into the heart of what is now not working with Ellie. And he said, you know, your arms are weird, you're like a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
There is something, because she's sort of perfect and beautiful looking. There's almost like the expectation, well, you should be able to do it. Look at you.
Yeah.
You look so right on that dance floor. You look like a dancer. Why aren't your legs and arms and core and neck and head moving like a dancer?
She should be the Sophie Ellis-Bextor this year. She should be the person who's got this astonishing sort of long frame.
Yeah.
Who then just goes, oh, I can completely control it.
She isn't a Barbie doll, but she is certainly, there's a stiffness there that I don't think is going to loosen before the end of the competition.
And I think what is Strictly about? It's about saying this is a hard thing to learn. And I love watching people who hit either ceiling. I think Why Strictly is a perfect program compared to, say, Dancing on Ice, where if you're bad at it, you hurt yourself.
Yes.
I love watching people demonstrate this is hard.
Yeah.
I'm doing something difficult.
So
but it's never not enjoyable to watch that process.
Yeah.
So I love watching a dance because it keeps reminding me, God, this is difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Several judges said, you know, whatever you're doing, Craig said, triple it.
Yeah.
Motsy said, give me a little bit more. They're trying and failing to get her to understand that, you know, when... That amazing routine, was it the Sam Ryder one or the other one on Saturday night? When the professional dancers come out and they do, I think it was like a rumba.
Yeah.
Two couples came out and rumbered to something. And it's the movements are so exaggerated.
Yes.
Obviously, they're trained and their muscle tone is incredible stuff. But the arms and the legs and the shapes and the thrusts, they're absolutely massive.
Yeah.
They're not doing delicate, placed, polite routines. They're doing... Even in ballroom, like everything is a little bit more like the Strictly ballroom thing. When you're watching, you know, the Baz Luhrmann film, and you're watching the kind of the painted on smiles, the extended necks, the heads tipped to one side. It looks ridiculous on film. It's too big. But that is how you ballroom dance professionally.
You have to remember it's an art form that's like Greek theatre or something. It's got a formality. The reason it's got rules, and it's not about... This isn't... That's what's interesting about this as a series that's documenting a performing art form.
Yeah.
Is you go, this isn't... No one is method acting.
No.
There's a lot of stress in this about saying, well, reach into yourself, find a story of your grandfather who died in the First World War and express that. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I mean, in terms of classic 1950s method acting, your performance should mine something that's true. But the rest of it is formal. It's like Japanese no theatre. There are rules to this. And you can express yourself. It's more like, because it's ballet. There is a formal language with which you express your feelings.
Yeah.
And that formal language is very, very stylized. Ridiculously physical and athletic and difficult. And if you're going out there and going, well, I felt sad and I danced like a sad person, the judges are going to go, more.
Right,
I want you not just to cry, but to do boo-hoo actions.
Yes, yeah.
It's not realistic acting. And that's why someone like Craig, who we've said before, when you put Craig in a sketch, he can't do sketch acting. Which now is a naturalistic form, thanks to the way the sketch acting's done comedy. He's a panto actor, and pantomime is related to mime and ballet and medieval theatre.
Exactly.
This is bigger than you think as an art form.
Oh, God, are you going to start talking about Commedia dell'arte next? This is a Strictly podcast, mate.
Hey, I did medieval theatre at college, and this is on my mind all the time.
Anyway, the judges were encouraging and kind, which you can tell means they don't think it was up to scratch. Craig gave a 7. Everyone else gave 8. Ellie looked absolutely crushed. So yes. When they went through to Claudia and stuff, she kind of did the, I'm so sorry, pulled herself together.
Yeah.
But like you said, her face is an open book, and going sort of to the Claudia backstage bit, she just looked really, really crushed. And she was trying, most other people, you know, Molly, so we'll paint on that stage cool smile and get back out there and finish the performance before they go backstage and fall apart. Yeah. Ellie just does it in front of you. And it's just like, actually, that's why people love her.
Yeah.
Because she's letting you know, I put everything into this and now I'm really gutted I've let my partner down.
You said she deserved to go home in a funny sort of way this week. And I probably agree with you.
God, I feel like Cruella de Vil about to snap a puppy's neck.
Also, at the same time, I don't want her to go home because
the
story through her now, she's carrying some of that story as the person who, maybe we've got a couple more weeks, I don't think she's going to make the final, which is a real shame.
I don't think she should make the final.
I think if she makes the final, it'll be at the expense of someone who should be in the final. But yeah. I don't want to lose her because I love watching her journey, and her journey is great. Her journey is great. I love it.
Now we move on to my dance of the night, bar none.
Small break.
What?
Before Tess introduced this dance, there was a shot of Tess, right?
Yeah.
Shot of Tess.
Yeah.
And behind her was fucking Lee Francis.
No, in his massive hat.
Fucking hat.
Whoever's sitting behind him, because obviously he's on the front row, he's a VIP. Sorry, tough shit, mate. You're not seeing any dancing tonight.
Now, what this is doing to Strictly... The
ruining
presence
it.
Of Lee Francis.
Ruining
I think
it.
Paddy McGuinness was next to him as well. I don't fucking care.
He was. They're actually friends. Ugh.
Lee Francis in the audience, right? This is turning this into Ghost Watch. I'm starting to look for him like he's fucking Pipes. Every time he turns up, I jump and I'm scared.
It's horrible.
Because I don't want that man there.
He doesn't fit. He doesn't belong.
Bad man. He's not from the Strictly universe.
No.
And it's like that shot in the it's like that shot they put in the Inside Number 9
yes.
Deadline episode, where they took the old shot of the old episode of Inside Number 9, and suddenly with a flash frame, there was a flayed zombie at the window
behind
Dennis Lawson.
Yeah, a spectre in it.
God, it's genuinely one of the most horrible things I've ever seen. So I just wanted to point out, fucking Pipes is back, and he can piss off.
He ruins everything. Now, anyway,
that's me clicking on the obscene material button on the podcast before it goes out.
Fucking
Pipes is back.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone, but he's right, you know. Can't stand the guy. So Helen and Gorka, lovely, lovely, lovely Helen and Gorka, did a quick step to... The Zootons, Valerie.
By the Zootons.
By the Zootons, who are a band who wrote the song Valerie.
Valerie, written by the Zootons, who do very well out of Amy Winehouse's Valerie.
I know, and it feels unkind, you know, but it wasn't Amy Winehouse's song, and it's so annoying. I know it's the arrangement, the Mark Ronson arrangement, but still.
Also, let's point out, Zootons are from the north. Say that.
I know, exactly.
Don't give credit to London again.
Local lads made good. So this is... Everything about this dance absolutely did it for me. So, you know, sometimes you're looking at the way the female celebrities or the female dancers are dressed, and it's about silhouettes, like dancing is. Those costumiers are so good at, like, this is the shape you're going to be when you're... So even at great speed whizzing around the dance floor, the silhouette you create will be... Mwah.
Yeah.
And this silhouette is my favourite of all. So it was like a sort of 80s punk... sort of Vivian Westwood aesthetic, the big kind of punky hair with the flailing sort of ponytail, really high quiff. Excuse me, sorry, I'm a little bit phlegmy. leave that one in.
It's quite punk.
Sorry, that was me doing my Sid Snot. She looked absolutely astonishing, kind of like a backless thing, the studded belt, the huge netted skirt, the kind of sort of torn, almost sort of tartan overskirt. I just think it's the best anyone's ever looked in their life. She looks so good.
Yeah.
And then a quick step. So if you're lucky, you get to do that on that ballroom floor because one, it's sprung, and two, it's massive.
Yes.
So it's like, and she was saying, the running, the joy, the sheer being a pony cantering around the paddock thing was what made her love it so much. And she covered that gigantic floor in the most beautiful way. And yeah, just everything about this for me was Strictly Blackpool. Loved it.
If we're following Helen's journey, we're following Helen's journey.
And she does have the best journey.
Her journey is the best journey.
Yeah.
We're following Helen, And this is the point at which she gets to cut loose.
Yeah.
She's slowly gone from being timid, underconfident, to having a couple of routines where you're like, oh, you're cocky. And she's
where she's shown little snippets of sparkle and
sass. Blasts of sass and confidence. Yeah. And she's sort of blossoming. And then someone said, right, would you like to go to the biggest hill in the world?
Yeah.
And go...
And roll down it.
Down it. And she said, she was trying to describe it afterwards.
Know.
She said, do you know when you're a kid and you're running and you're so excited your legs can't keep up and it's all the energy?
Yeah.
And he went, yes, that's exactly what you look like.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
To have that dance, that costume, this place to do it, it was this absolute expression of joy.
Yeah.
And if dance is an expression of emotion in a codified, formalised form, sometimes the dance you want to watch is, can I watch? Whee! I just loved it. It was really stylish. Yeah, definitely my dance of the night.
Gorka was brilliant. The choreography was gorgeous. Everything about the kind of the concept of the routine, him sort of, you know, chatting her up outside a pub or a cafe or wherever it was that she was having drinks with her girlfriends. Really good use of the backing dancers as well.
Yeah.
Who I was watching some of the time actually, just thinking they're doing a really good job, not all get out of the way.
It was, they measured this without doing a grease pastiche or something. Basically, the way they normally
absolutely
do the sort of like boy girl sort of bit rocker thing.
No, it felt always, Blackpool. It was great.
It was much more like Victoria with Down the Chippy.
Oh, much more like that, which look it up on YouTube is absolutely delightful. Julie Walters in kind of like neon leggings and a kind of top knot. Oh,
and then
brilliant.
The link you'd have from the little VT they'd done beforehand where Helen had said, I was a barmaid, and you went, oh God, you've got this connection. So suddenly you're like a lovely brassy
I saw
barmaid.
You saw her pulling the perfect pint and you were like, my heart is yours forever.
Imagine if she was your barmaid. But the whole package was sort of saying, this belongs to, and again, it belonged to Blackpool, it belonged to her.
Yeah.
Everything about it was just accidentally all fell into line.
Yeah.
Click, 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 like sort of cracking a safe. It was a lovely thing. Went,
yeah.
You've unlocked something magic. That is a perfect Blackpool routine.
Oh,
from
God.
The VT to the end, it was brilliant.
It was delicious. Anton said everything was perfect. It said, oh, up until now you've been brilliant from the neck down, now you're also brilliant from the neck up.
Yeah.
Just like her performance, her cheekiness, the end when she ducks out the way and Gorka ends up kissing the backing dancer, brilliantly. Just it was cute as fuck.
Yes, I wrote
it
down. I said the lovely finish after we've had a couple, I think. Well, I wrote down a couple and went, oh, these fizzle out.
Yeah.
The finishes weren't quite there. The rest of the thing was fluffed.
Yeah.
Like Ellie's one, where the finish wasn't quite as well worked out, almost as if they'd practiced the dance in order and hadn't done enough practice on the ending.
Yeah.
That ending, you went, oh, you nailed the landing. Amazing.
It was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Craig said her frame was a little bit hoedown, at which point Shirley got off her chair, spoiling for a fight. And
with
I was like,
spanner in her
I
hand.
Will hold your coat, Shirley. You go, girl. But he said her feet were exceptional. Motsy said she had speed, musicality, one of the best quick steps she'd seen ever. Although they're kind of drowned out by everyone just going, yes! And like the crowd absolutely went off for this one. And Shirley said, you know, how you've grown. I have no words. Superb. So I thought, this is it. It's coming. It's going to be amazing. But then Craig got out his nine paddle.
Yeah.
And I just think that was incorrect. I think you could have gone for two tens this episode.
Yes.
Quite happily without being in any way overblown or, you know, sort of spunking it too early. I can't think of another way to say it.
Yeah.
I apologise for that image. But everyone in the studio, every other dancer, professional and otherwise, was just going bananas in the background for her, clearly just willing her on. And I thought that's strictly, you can see they want it for her. She talked about the joy that she was feeling, that this is all she wants. She just wanted to feel some joy because everything's been so rubbish, don't forget.
Can you imagine? I'm just putting this in your head. Can you imagine? She doesn't get her 40 this week. Can you imagine if he gets 40 next week? Can you imagine what that would mean for Helen's journey?
So now on to Fleur and Vito, who did their couple's choice to the Destiny's Child Megamix. As soon as I heard this, I thought, OK, well, she's probably going to nail this because this is the kind of dancing she can already do.
Yeah.
Even if untrained, like this is the stuff she's done in pop videos and that kind of thing.
It's a comfort zone dance, isn't it?
Totally. Time? And, you know, that they're sort of actively going to let her be herself in every way that sort of counts.
Yeah.
And that's going to be entirely a positive thing for her. Then they kind of talked about, it was actually really, really sweet, like, you know, losing her dad and things.
Yeah.
Not too heavy-handed, but it was sort of like just a reminder, if reminder be need be, that, you know, they've been battling through something really tough, their family, and
yeah.
it's and her mum was there on the front row, the rest of her family was there. It was
a big family week.
Clearly going to mean a lot this week. If it doesn't every other week, but you know, it was clearly going to be quite an emotional.
But also
one.
For her family as well, who followed a journey for her that has been to do with her doing this kind of act, act. Their daughter has blossomed into someone who's amazing at this.
Yeah.
So they've all come along to see her do her show off of the thing they know she's good at.
Had
a really nice thing that, the family were talking about the experience of watching her grow and impress them and delight them. And he went, oh, good, I feel like I'm with you on this.
Yeah, and she started off like shy and then she sort of slowly found out she could sing. And
it's lovely.
It was a really nice little story. Just on a costume point, obviously she came out looking like a sort of, you know, a dance robot from the future.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. This sort of silver, very tight catsuit with a kind of sort of slightly cut. They've put her in these kind of things before where on, especially on It Takes Two, if Vicky Gill's doing the costume slot, she'll say, oh, we're basically putting her in a catsuit. And then I think they always add some kind of small skirt element in the end. Because it's like, she clearly doesn't want to just go out there with like her crotch out. But her body looked incredible.
Yeah.
Because this costume was definitely asking you to look at her body.
She's a Discotron.
And what it can do. She was a Discotron. Yeah, completely. But apparently they were literally sewing this one up until just before she came out at the top of the stairs on Saturday night. Like she was just put into it before the kind of the opening credits. So,
have you been to the toilet?
Genuinely.
Are you sure you've been to the toilet?
Incredible.
Do you want to go again?
Just amazing. It was an astonishing routine. I saw some people saying on the social medias, obviously on Twitter, which has now become like a toxic swamp, immediately overnight, just like bang, everyone's become
It used to be
hateful.
So nice, didn't it? It used to be so nice. And Donald Trump was lovely.
Some people saying, oh, it just looks like something she's made up, you know, as a kid and like wants to show to her family. And I think that is underselling it somewhat. I think
if you saw your kid do this, you'd go, that's pretty good.
Oh, gosh, you're quite good at dancing, aren't you, darling? Also, lovely costume. But Shirley and some of the other judges were quite keen to point out, like, technically what you've just done is so, so difficult. Just because she makes things look easy doesn't mean they're easy. Just because this is her, quotes, natural habitat, kind of dancing like this, a kind of pop promo Janet Jackson-y thing.
Yeah.
And there was a section where she goes fully Janet Jackson with the kind of the arms and the locking and popping and stuff. It looked very Janet Jackson.
Yeah, I think that it had all that stuff combined in it. I was really glad it wasn't just a Beyoncé pastiche. I'm glad it had lots of other bits in it.
Oh, loads.
All the references were saying, have you ever enjoyed someone doing a pop video?
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Did
you enjoy, because I know this was important to you, the military snare bit, where it was drumming, was like, We got a hint of what it had been like if they'd let the screen test theme be on TV themes. And I thought she could have aced the screen test theme. And now I'm just disappointed she didn't do it.
It's like it's the dance we never got to see. Yeah. She looked astonishing. Obviously, you know, the lighting. Craig was saying everything came together, in the little judges confab afterwards. When the lights are bouncing off you, like you are a glitter ball.
Yeah, human glitter ball.
And you're moving that in that way that where the audience can have 100% confidence in you just nailing it.
Yeah.
She never at any point looked like she wasn't going to. If you look into, say, Ellie's eyes and she's doing a routine, at this point in the competition, you're like, you know, there's not 100% confidence there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little nervousness. This was Fleur coming out and going, yes,
no
and
flutter.
Then just killing it. And for me, I felt like it lasted about 8 seconds. It was so full of content, so kind of like pumped full of stuff, that I was surprised when it ended when it did. And I, one of the best endings I've ever seen, where they kind of land in a sort of side by side in a press up or a press down, because they're at the top of the press up.
Yeah.
They land, arms locked, looking into camera. And then as the crowd goes bananas, just slowly they're lowering down to the floor. Oh my God, it was so cool.
Yeah.
Just so cool. Obviously, the whole place just went off. The roof came off the ballroom and the judges had nothing but like just like loose hanging jaws and praise. Craig only had the one word, three syllables, begins with letters. Like, we're not playing, give us a clue here, just say it. Fabulous. It was obvious when he said that there was nothing he could do apart from produce the 10 paddle. So
one word, from that, three syllables, fucking hell.
Fucking hell. That's what I said. But it was obvious that we were just killing time until they got the paddles out. So it was like, hurry up, talk faster. Motsi said she was like clearing space and moving her chair away just to start, you know, join in dancing with her. Shirley said it was an iconic routine that will go down in history. Absolutely phenomenal. And Anton said, we've been waiting the whole series for you to do this. It's almost like they gave her the present she'd been wanting since week one. And sure enough, it was, and the scores are in, Craig Revel Horwood, and he sat there impassive, not moving, just kind of looking like he could go either way. But everyone knew. He played it really well. He gave a little extra pause and then just very casually, 10, just popped it up above the top of the desk.
I really wanted it to be a 4. I thought that would have been so funny.
You're cruel.
Just a 4.
2.
I liked it because Shirley got so overexcited she pulled her 10 panel out.
She did.
It was really sweet.
She was standing up and kind of gyrating, going, yes,
and
queen.
By that point, you suddenly realised it was complete formality. You knew it was all 10s.
And Vito had kind of lifted Fleur up and threw her over his shoulder and was bouncing around. And then by the time they got to the last 10, he almost dropped her on her head. He was so excited and kind of awkwardly put her back on the sofa that was behind her. And then she kind of clambered back down to the ground again.
That routine was under rehearsed. I see a bit more practice, a bit sharper, a bit more attraction.
It was. And, you know, in terms of a television programme that requires at some point the money shot.
Yeah, yeah.
We got our money shot.
Full in the face.
It was filthy. It was joyful. It was everything I wanted and more. On my shiny upturned face. Sorry, cut that out. That was an awful thing to say. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. And now Joel is still going, did you really say that?
Yeah.
I did really say that. We move on finally to Will and Nancy, who had to follow that. Bad luck, Will and Nancy.
Oh, yeah.
They sambered to Aga Rio de Janeiro, that one.
Yeah.
It feels like all of these songs tonight were by Barry Manilow.
Yeah, they were.
even the Destiny's Child
Blackpool
ones.
Does that.
Yeah, it does.
Still a Black or Barry Manilow. It two choices.
It was a typically Blackpool way to finish. It was very, you know, feathers of all the colours you'd never wear, electric pink, electric blue and electric yellow.
They bookended it really nicely with Hamza at the start in Top Hat and Tails. And basically, this is your chance to do Strictly Dancing.
It was
Strictly
exactly.
Sorry, hang on. What was it called? It was called Come Dancing. Yeah. Strictly
Come
the
Dancing.
Stupid bit.
That's right. Yeah,
always remember, Strictly's the stupid bit. It was Come Dancing. And it opened and closed in a really trad, both ends of ballroom, one ballroom and one Latin, but full on. How it's done.
Oh, absolutely how it's done. It was a really good routine. It was basically, I kind of wanted Will to go out this week as well, because it was like him going, okay, fine, I admit it is just the hips, I've got nothing else.
Yeah.
Because he's fine at other things, but also, obviously, we know now we've been poisoned against him by knowing who his friends are, so it's impossible to love
fucking
him now.
Pipes.
Absolutely fuck pipes. that's the title of this week's episode, Fuck Pipes.
Fuck Pipes.
The hips are amazing, but they seem to be his fallback position. Like, if in doubt, get Will's hips out.
This was the thing that had made him.
It was week one, remember? Week one is like, oh, we've got our potential winner. All the betting went his way. Like, people are going to lose so much money on that now. He's just, as weeks go on, the hips seem like the only plus point, and he looks more and more charmless to
Let's
me.
Not forget.
Even using Gorka and Gemma's daughter as his kind of, oh, she just loves me, what can I say? I'm just so adorable. Like, I don't like you.
Oh, shit, was that what? It's pipes.
But I love Nancy.
Yes, I think they are still a really, really formidable pair.
Yeah.
I think Nancy's knowledge of him and his abilities is brilliant.
Yeah.
Her choreography, I thought, on this was fantastic.
I want her to dance the rest of the series on her own.
I think she don't forget, we're saying that he's a one-trick pony, but last week he did that astonishing waltz and it was really, really nice.
Whatever.
I thought what was interesting is last week I was stunned. I went, oh God, you've got soul. And it was the lovely one last week where he was talking about the people who'd lost in the pandemic, and it was really seemed to be really honest and very heartfelt.
No, it was. Oh God, thanks for making me feel bad.
So
I'm just saying if I blinked now and he wasn't there, I wouldn't notice.
I'm with you on this, but I think last week we got to see another side of him.
Yeah.
Weirdly, this week seeing him, and this was sensational, he was really good. I went, oh, you're just that guy again.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's... But I'm being really unfair. You're definitely being more unfair than me.
I really much am.
Massively unfair.
I really much am.
But
that's not even a sentence.
Really varies. but I felt that this... Last week we saw another side of him. And this week I saw the old side of him. And I went, oh, right, you've got two modes. I'd like to see them do more with what we saw last week, which was elegance and class. And he's a really good dancer.
Oh, I know he is. But pipes.
But pipes.
Yeah, pipes has bought everything. Craig gave him an 8, which is what he gave Tyler too, and then said, oh, you should teach Tyler how to do that with his hips. And then Tyler came out and did that with his hips in the dance off and still went home.
Is that how it was done?
Well, I mean, maybe backstage, he did give him a quick, I don't know. But yeah, Craig gave him an 8 and everyone else gave him 9s. Again, it's wildly unfair of me. I could easily enjoy the show without him. I don't think I'd notice if he went, yes. Which is an awful thing to say, but I don't see a final with him in it. He's fine.
Well, you're at that stage now where all you're talking about, when you talk about who you want to go through.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Everyone's
the
really good.
In
saying,
sight, you
saying,
know?
Okay, imagine the final. Mm. If someone was in the final at someone else's expense, what would make you go, oh, it's a shame.
Yeah.
I think we're at that stage now. And it's really cruel because there's some really good people. Some people I've really enjoyed watching their journey.
Yeah.
But I think I know in my heart, and I wouldn't say it out loud because I don't want to commit too early.
No.
But I think I know in my heart who I feel should be in the final.
I know who should be in the final.
And I'm not going to commit because I don't want to do that yet.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm enjoying the journey.
Okay, fine.
I'm enjoying it. But yeah, I think he's definitely in the relegation zone for me in terms of being, you're really good, but I think I've seen what you can do.
Yeah. I don't need him in the final. I'm sorry, I just don't. Motsy said something vague about it being Blackpool. Shirley said,
Rock!
You are one very, very well-oiled machine. Again, referring to his hips. Yawn. Anton said
maybe
it was hypnotic. He loved it. Yeah, maybe.
Are you pissed?
You are drunk, my
Helen's
friend.
Helen's been pulling pints backstage. You know what happens next.
Craig said he was reeling from the hip content. It was hip-tastic. Hip, 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 hooray. Yeah, an 8 and 3 9s. Fine, but I'm very much... You can tell I've checked out emotionally. This isn't a Jimmy Biscuit situation if you're a listener to the former podcast. Like, I don't hate him.
No.
I just don't need him. He can go.
And also, I think this week, it was enormous cruelty, I think. You'd emotionally peaked with Helen and Fleur. And you went, that's it.
The glitter cannon's already gone off. Yeah. I had nothing else left to give. So we ended the episode on Saturday night with Fleur and Vito on a perfect score, closely followed by Helen 1 point behind them on 39, and Gorka, I should say. There was another dancer on the floor. Down the bottom was Ellie with 31 and Kim with 33. Everyone else in the middle, pretty much everyone else on 35. And the dance-off, well, I mean, did you predict who was in the dance-off?
No.
So it was Molly and Tyler.
Total surprise.
Molly and Tyler were on the same score. They were both 35 on the night. Obviously, they weren't the lowest on the table. Kim and Ellie were. it was inevitable that somebody really good was going to be in the dance-off because pretty much that's everyone now. But I don't know. I was surprised, actually, because it went down to... It's the first dance-off, I think, where it's actually come down to Shirley having the casting vote, or maybe there's been one other. And I thought she was going to go for Tyler because he's adjudicator-friendly. Yeah. So, you know, fair play to her for saving the better dancer.
For using the top brain.
Yeah, I know,
the lower
right?
Brain.
Not the one down there. Yeah. But I think she had to give it sort of technically to the better couple.
Craig said that. So I think
they both danced up a storm.
Craig
in that
said that's the first time he really had to think.
Yeah, yeah.
As in, I think so far because of the
close.
Way that the public voting's gone. Mm. It's been obvious every week, kind of. Well, we know who the judges
are.
Oh,
yes, it's been obvious.
This is
week,
the first time
so
where there were two judges' favourites in there who have had amazing weeks and are amazingly talented dancers. So it's the first time it's the first time I found the judging bit of it really, really nail-biting and exciting.
It was a bit more interesting, wasn't it? Yeah.
Good. I mean, that's the television programme we're watching.
Know.
So I enjoyed not knowing where it was going. I really, really thought that was that. It was a good Blackpool week for that.
No, completely. There was some drama, at least, in the end. And Tyler was really sweet. And he was just, you know, he said, I think, at least 3 times, she's changed my life. She's changed my life. But genuinely seemed to be really, really genuine and emotional. And it's clearly been a very different experience from his day to day going in, you know, DJing a radio show and that kind of stuff. I think he'll go on to do more interesting things in his career because of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's probably removed him from his particular niche. And now he's more of a... I think he can go on and present anything now on any show because he's kind of become a sort of, okay, I don't want to say a mum's favourite, but, you know, Shirley has kind of anointed him adjudicator-friendly and a mum's favourite. Yeah. And he'll go on and have a really interesting career now, I think.
It's one of those, that was a career-making set of performances for him. Hopefully, because he deserves it. He was lovely.
Oh, he just seemed like a really nice boy.
Really, really nice. Yeah, that's what this show shows off brilliantly, I think.
Know.
Better than, I think, almost any other... Better than any other reality show, this is a show that shows your showbiz chops.
Yeah,
do you come
for sure.
over well? Can you do the job? Are you a hard worker?
Yeah.
The skills you need to do Strictly well are the skills you would need to do a news show or a one show type thing. It's boot camp for can you be on television forever?
Oh, completely.
And great, because you've entertained the nation. Yeah. Lovely.
Tits, teeth, trooper. Tick, tick, tick.
All the T's.
So that is it. That's Blackpool. It's over. It's finished. I'm also slightly spent now. It's kind of like, when's the next exciting week? It's just another normal week next week.
Is it Moon Week where they go to the moon?
Have we got Moon Week coming up?
Moon Week's
coming up. Anti-grav dancing, for real.
That's all I want.
It's going to be amazing. Whoever gets the jive, that's cheating.
It's Wire Work Week where they're all up there like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, karate with sticks. It's amazing.
Lovely. Please do join us next week. I'm going to say come and find us on Twitter, but I don't know genuinely for how much longer. It's all so miserable over there. We haven't got a Mastodon yet, but you know, we're counting down the days. We are at Curse of Strictly. If you want to say anything about anything we've said, please come and do that. That would be fun. I apologise for the rather blue content this week. We will dial it back next week and become family friendly once more.
I left the Swanee whistle upstairs. We could have had it all the way through.
I know. Thank you for joining us. And see us, hear us next week when we come Strictly Dancing. But until then, leave it in. I fucked it up. Look, they should know I'm flawed too. This is us showing them how hard this is.
Vulnerable, yeah.
The effort, right?
I've fallen. I think I've broken my ankle.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. It's fine.
Until then, don't stop dancing.